defensively, we're off to a good start this week. I think the guys came back from the 4 days off recharged. They've been focused in the meeting rooms. They're into the game plan. I know they're excited about the challenge this week that the Texans present. I know they're excited about being back home in front of the dog pound. And we're going to lean on the dog pound a lot this week. This is an offense that relies heavily on pre-snap communication. So we need them to be loud and make that difficult for them. I don't want to say we know nothing about them. You know, we're familiar, obviously, with Billy O'Brien's offense and the New England offense. I think in my years of the NFL, this will be the 12th or 13th time I've gone against it in my years in New York and Buffalo. You know, we were able to study some tape of Ryan in the preseason. You know, I mean, it's obviously you want to be able to dissect him a little bit more than what you can off of preseason tape. But, you know, I think that they're not going to drift too far from what they were offensively. Might get some more shots downfield than what they did with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But it's a little uncomfortable. It's kind of like going into a week one matchup, you know, first game of the year. But, you know, the guys have been locked in. We're going to do what we're going to do. And, you know, we got to execute. It still comes down to that, executing, keeping them out of the end zone, causing turnovers. He's been very solid for us. He obviously had probably his best game this past year. The thing I love about Bust, if there's one guy on the defensive side of the ball that kind of represents that play like a Brown, tough, accountable, 100% every play, that's Bust. And, you know, he gave up a couple plays a couple weeks ago, and I love the way he responded against Cincinnati. He's obviously a very good player. He's probably the best zone scheme running back in the NFL. I mean, he's got a really good feel for it. He's been doing it his whole career there. The new staff's come in and they're doing very similar run concepts than what they did previously in Houston. But he's a dual threat running back. He's not just a runner. He's also very good out of the backfield when it comes to catching the ball. So like always, you know, you got to take some stuff away from him scheme wise. And it's just not one or two guys. It takes all 11. Anytime you play a dominant player, it takes all 11 on defense to control him. I think our guys are getting more comfortable in the scheme. I think that, you know, they're learning to play with each other. They're trusting the coaching. They're trusting the technique. They're bringing the technique out onto the field. And, you know, I think that we're starting to get to a point where we're really starting to bring that attitude, that defensive attitude, every play, every game to the field that we know we need to bring to be a dominant or a successful defense in this league. Just an attitude that, I mean, they've done a great job being accountable to one another where, you know, we preach to them all the time, do your job, good things will happen. And they want to be the most physical unit out on the football field. If Gip can't go, and you know, he's day-to-day right now, so as a coach, I like to remain optimistic. But if he can't go, I'm comfortable, obviously, with Jimmy Leonard. I mean, Jimmy Leonard's been in the system for 7 years. You know, Gip's having a great year. He's made a lot of great plays for us. Turnover-wise, he brings an element to the defense that you can't replace. But Jimmy's like a coach out there. He puts out a lot of pre-snap fires. He puts guys in position to make plays. He puts himself in position to make plays. And then it's also a great opportunity for a guy like Jordan Poyer. So, you know, if Gip can't go, we feel comfortable with our depth at that position with those two guys. Another guy that we've cross-trained back there has been Kaywan Williams. So, you know, we have some answers if Gip can't go. Obviously, we prefer to be at full strength and have Gip and Jimmy and Poyer and all those guys available to us. I think we do a great job as a coaching staff, and I think we have two great leaders in Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby to help keep those guys grounded in the locker room. Guys that have been around it for a while, been a part of big wins, and then keeping guys on track stay the course. I think the guys are doing a great job. If you're a leader, you're a leader. You know, I mean, guys see it. If you're playing well, you're willing to stick your neck out there and you know, call guys out, call yourself out. I mean, guys respect that. So, I mean, those guys, it's not like they came in day one and took it over. They earned the respect of the locker room before they were able to lead. When I started the year, I didn't want to talk to the group for 16 straight weeks. I think that it becomes very monotonous if it's the same guy in front of the unit over and over again. So I kind of sketched out. I was going to talk to the group four or five times, and I was going to ask position coaches and players to talk to the group. And I put a lot of thought into it last week, you know, who should do it. And Whit was one of the players that hadn't addressed the group. I was kind of waiting on it. And it felt right. I knew he's played in big games. It was going to be a big game for our defense. That was a very good offense we went against. And it was as advertised with Whit. You know, just what I thought it would be. It was very strong emotionally. And it was exactly what we needed the day of the game to hear. I just think it brought us closer together as a unit. Anytime somebody speaks from the heart, I think the guys really appreciate that. And just knowing about his upbringing, his background, what got him to this point, I think a lot of players in today's game can relate to that. And it was just the right message at the right time for the right game. And, you know, obviously it helped us. He's the spark plug in that locker room. The guys love Craig. I love him. He's the spark plug on special teams. I'm sure tapes would tell you guys that. And he's a spark plug for our defense. He's a guy that brings it every day. I love his energy. So it's not always just the guys that fill up the stat sheet. You know, there's some guys. Sometimes it's good to hear guys that might only be playing five plays a game and how important the group is to them, or where they're coming from, or where they've been, how hard their journey's been. You know, I think the system might fit him a little better. That he's in this year than what he might have previously have been in. I think Chuck Driesbach's doing a great job with him. Okay, and it's a situation where him and Christian Kirksey are kind of sharing time, so you might not have to focus on every technique. You can focus on the jobs that you know you just need to get done that week. So it's they're doing a little bit of job sharing there, but he's done a great job for us this year. I mean, I would like to think we had a little bit of a role in it. I think our guys did a hell of a job executing. Obviously, I'm sure he'd like to have some throws back, but I think the safeties did a good job disguising and confusing them, and we'll find out again here in a few more weeks. So I think, we study the hell out of it. We really do. That's kind of our Wednesday night deal. It's me, it's Pet, it's Jeff Hafley. And we watch every red zone rep for the whole year. Sometimes we have to go back to previous years if we need more data. And we practice the heck out of it. The guys have been great when the offense is practicing. We'll get extra red zone routes. And we've done a good job executing. And when you have a guy like Joe Hayden in the red zone that you feel good about locking down on the outside, it allows you to pack the middle of the field a little bit more, which helps down there. A lot of teams like to throw the ball under the goalpost in the back of the end zone. So us being able to leave Joe alone at times out there really helps us. But the other thing I think we've done a good job of down there is stopping the run. When you can stop the run and make the offenses, play left-handed, that helps. I think that I've spoken to a couple offensive coordinators or quarterbacks coaches after we've played them. I think it's getting to the point where if you throw the ball in the middle of the field against us, we got a safety that can intercept it, and we got a safety that can knock the hell out of you. So it's you better be careful if you want to develop a whole game plan where you're throwing the ball down the middle of the field. And the thing that's great about Gip and great about our defense right now is a lot of times guys get turnovers in this league when they break structure. They kind of go off on their own, and they might make a play, but then they give up too. Our guys are doing a great job staying within the structure of the defense right now and letting the plays come to them. And that's when you start playing really good defense. We're playing team defense. The guys are letting the plays come to them, and they're making the plays they're supposed to make. Yeah, well, this quarterback's going to give them a little bit different of an element to their pass game. Andre Johnson's been one of the best receivers in the NFL for a long time now. DeAndre Hopkins is a young kid that obviously can stretch the field vertically. He's made some circus catches already this year, so it's going to be a challenge for our corners. They know that. We got to do a good job against them. We can't let balls get thrown over our head. Right now, Dante Whitner is in the lead, but it's not by much. I mean, there's within one or two bones of him is Gip, Kruger, Dansby, Dez, Craig Robertson, Hayden, Kaywan. So it's quite a race right now, heading into the second half of the season.